Welcome to America!
Bravo, Barazzaru!
Come in, come in!
This is the mansion?
The mansion is coming, cousin. That's the dream.
What do you mean?
We're going to the top, Nico. Soon, even you will forget about the old country.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
What up?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast. It's a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft brew from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this
week. Something like that, somewhere.
I'm here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and from a kitchen in Dallas, we've got...
This is Chris in Dallas, and your name was, again?
Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, that's right.
Episode 36.
Just in case anyone was wondering, I'm Mike from Boston in a freezing cold room.
Yes.
Oh, and we have done this before.
So this is episode 36.
Previous times.
We are less than 20 away from a 1 year mark.
We are less than 1 minute in the podcast and things are already falling apart.
So today we are talking about Grand Crus. So the Grand Cru is not necessarily a style, but let's throw it to the beer jargon guy. Maybe he can tell us something about Le Grand Cru.
I don't even know if he's clocked in yet. You might want to give him a chance to clock in and have his coffee and or his tea, sorry.
We're paying this guy?
Old beer jargon guy.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is Grand Cru. Grand Cru is a French term meaning great growth. It was part of the original wine classification by the French in 1855. It is more recently been used for other things, such as coffee, tea, and yes, beer. It signifies being the best of the best.
Okay, thanks, Beer Jargon Guy, for that little bit of info about Grand Crus.
That guy is way underpaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could give him a raise, we would. So, fermentation conversation Grand Cru today is we're doing something a little different. We're not actually doing a...
We're not actually drinking
craft beer.
What?
This is...
Oh my God!
This is Blue Moon's Grand Cru. It's their limited edition. It came out. It's their 2009. They wanted it to come out just in time for New Year's, apparently.
I understand. What do you mean? What do you mean? It's brewed by Blue Moon Brewery in Golden, Colorado.
Yeah, those guys.
I understand. We'll that sounds like a craft beer place to me.
It sure does. So after that, we'll go into our hop topics, and then we'll go into our tasting flight. And today, Chris, what are you trying?
I am drinking Avery's The Beast.
Oh, The Beast.
What about you, Mike?
I am trying Allagash's Grand Cru, which I want to say is from 2008, but I'm not sure about that.
And I will be hitting the road for my tasting flight, going to BJ's Brewhouse and Restaurant for their 10th anniversary Grand Cru.
Brewmasters.
Sweet.
So after that, we'll let you hear our tweet of the week, and then we'll do some backwash, go into Last Call. You guys have anything you want to say before we open up this craft?
I do want to say one thing in case I don't get a chance to say it later, because I meant to say it last week, but then we had technical difficulties at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Oh boy, did we.
Yeah. So I wanted to send out a thank you to the Market Street guys again. Roy and Mike over at Market Street.
They've been
They've been a big help to me throughout the show, and they really hooked me up last week. So Market Street, grocery store in Frisco, Texas.
Sweet.
Well, in that case, since we're doing thank yous, I am going to thank probably on a number of occasions here, Nate from Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts. Without
Marty's
him,
Liquors.
I would not have my beer for this week. He was kind enough to give me his own personal bottle of Allagash Grand Cru, so I thank him very much and will continue to thank him throughout this podcast. So every time you hear, thanks, Nate, that's for you.
I'd like to thank myself for picking up this Grand Cru that I have today. Sorry, guys.
You're useless. Let's drink some beer.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, since the fermentation conversation. Yeah. Lowered expectations.
Hey, hey.
Sounds so sweet. Hey, hey. So this is the Grand Cru from Blue Moon Brewing Company out of Golden, Colorado.
Don't judge a beer by its label, man.
It's their limited edition Belgian white, Belgian-style wheat ale, but their flagship beer is a Belgian white. So since this is a Grand Cru, that means that they've pretty much amped it up. So it's kind of like an imperial version, I guess, of their...
Better Belgian white, I guess.
Yeah, it's 8.2% ABV.
What's the normal?
Better be better.
For their flagship?
Yeah, for the Blue Moon.
Good question.
You know, I'm not sure. I want to say it's probably about even listed, 5.2.
I would even guess that it's even lower than that.
Yeah, these are bottle conditioned too, it looks like.
Yeah, I see a bunch of sediment in the bottom of mine.
Yep.
So it's Blue Moon Brewing Company, which is actually owned by Miller Coors. But Blue Moon has been around since 95. It's bluemoonbrewingcompany.com. Like I said, it's a Belgian white / wit beer. And wit beers, if you don't know, are pretty much centuries and centuries old. They actually have been around since, I think, the 12th century. And they kind of went away, I think, in the late 1800s, and they resurfaced in the 50s, but then they really made a comeback in the 70s with Hoegaarden, if you're not familiar with the Hoegaarden Belgian wit beer.
You just did the E True Hollywood Story on Blue Belgian wits.
Well, you know, I just want to get a little edumacation going.
And then it was the 70s. And then the drugs.
So this one we're trying was brewed once in December of 2009. I think I already said that. And they come in 750 milliliter bottles. Some people are complaining about price. I think I found mine for around $10 at Whole Foods.
$12.99.
How much did you guys find yours for? Yeah.
Mine was $11, but I did see it for as much as $14.
Rate Beer gave this a 66 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B- and nothing from the Ahlstrom Brothers. So go ahead and crack them, gentlemen.
Okay, here we go.
Crack it.
It's our first non-craft beer on the show. I feel dirty.
It's still a craft beer.
Oh, yeah. It's well, artfully crafted, is what they say.
Well, I mean, from what I hear, Coors lets the brewmaster at Blue Moon kind of have
free reign,
blanche, as they say. I mean, he seems to be able to do what he wants. So
it's got, it looks a lot like a paler version of a Hefeweizen. Yeah. It's very yellow in color, a little cloudy, very bubbly.
Kind of a white, frothy head.
Zero head.
Really?
I got zero.
Cloudy. Mine was like two fingers, and now it's about one finger, and it's not dissipating very quickly.
Yeah. I poured it pretty easy. I don't know. I wasn't very aggressive with my pour.
Me neither.
I'm using a Weizen glass, too, by the way.
I'm using a wine glass.
I'm using like a IPA glass.
Very bright citrus right off the bat.
A little bit of coriander.
Yeah, there's nice spices coming through. Yeah. There's even, at first whiff, I even got maybe a rose petal. It's very kind of a sweet floral.
Very, very reminiscent of a standard Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a decent one.
Yeah.
I might say.
You might say it, but.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump the gun here. I'm going to take a sip.
It's got about a medium body. Very sweet.
This is actually pretty tasty.
Kind of like a honey sweetness.
Yeah.
And it finishes with a little bit of citrus, like orange, kind of like an orange peel finish.
Yeah, and I see the sweetness, yeah, but I don't think it's overly sweet at all.
No.
No, at that honey that you mentioned, it's funny that you said that, because it's right when you said it, the flavor kind of hit my tongue of that honey, and it was kind of a pleasant surprise.
And I'm getting a little bit of spice character on the back of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
A little peppery.
Even dry, too.
Yeah.
There's something a little, I'm getting a little, like, a powder type, you know, like a powdered kind of yeast, you know, like a powdery-ness.
Hmm. Yeah.
Powdery-ness, can we say that?
Sure. Say whatever we want here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
Web editors. Or if we,
well, one of the reasons
we
why
must
I
not
say
pay them very well either.
when you talk about,
I don't think
you know,
we've
being
had
Blue
any
Moon
like
and
fucks slip through yet.
Well, there you go. Oh.
There's some dirty jokes in there somewhere.
Thanks, Chris.
If I remember what I just said, I'll say you're welcome.
That was me, fuckers.
So we had some technical difficulties there for a second. Hopefully, Toby will make them invisible.
But we're
so
back.
You'll have no idea what I'm talking about. But
more meat.
Gina was saying a little while ago that she kind of felt that this was just, you know, a lot like the Blue Moon,
right?
The standard Blue Moon, just a little bit fuller and sweeter, and that's exactly what it is. It's you know, it's a lot like the standard Blue Moon, only more. And I don't
think if you like Blue Moon, then you should dig this one too.
And I honestly think that
this
it's
like,
more
like
in a good
sipping.
Way.
This is like a sipping version of Blue Moon.
Yeah, and I think it's more in a good way. I don't think it's more in a bad way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Ooh, lots of sediment.
So food pairing. What do you guys? What would you guys pair with this?
Well, if I was gonna pair it with anything, I think I'd go with probably Chinese food. Like some orange chicken.
That's interesting.
A little bit of fried rice. I bet you guys didn't even see that coming, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I had no idea you were going to say that, Chris.
Oh, yeah. The wonders
for me,
of modern technology.
I would go with it like a... No, hey, don't be mocking my conk fritters, boy. No, I would go with the, it's funny that you say conch fritters too, because I would go with the Floribian cuisine, doing some kind of tropical fruit, roasted chicken.
Plantains?
Maybe some fried plantains. Whoa. Oh,
like a jerk chicken?
Jerk chicken? No, not jerk chicken. More like the when they roast the chicken and they marinate it in like tropical fruits and, you know, citrus fruits and some tropical fruits, and it's very nice.
All right.
That sounds really good.
I would go on the spicy side, maybe some
Pollo
spicy.
Tropical down in Florida. I miss that place. Old fast food restaurant.
Some spicy Asian food, like maybe some spicy seafood, some spicy chicken, Asian food. Definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. So that is the Grand Cru from Blue Moon. It's their limited edition 2009 Belgian style wheat ale.
Wouldn't forget it.
All right then. Forgotten.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Okay.
Hot topics.
Hot topic segment of this here podcast.
This here podcast.
Chris,
what you got? I am going to follow up.
What's up?
A little bit on what I talked about last week, which was
your book report.
Oh, you're doing a follow up.
Weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest is history.
Telling you, works really well. So last week I talked a little bit about you know, the craft beer industry and sort of what beers were making inroads and growing, Fat Tire being the number one sort of as far as growth goes. So this week I'm following it up with a Wall Street Journal article.
Ooh.
2009.
Can we mention that on this podcast? It's very un-beer coaster-like.
The Wall Street Journal article says 2009 was the worst year for beer sales in over 50 years.
Wow.
Because depending on how you look at it, the Wall Street Journal...
Maybe somehow they didn't ring in our sales last year.
Yeah. The Wall Street Journal reported on Thursday that beer sales fell 2.2%, a mark not seen since the 1950s. We'd been hearing all along that beer is recession-proof until we learned differently last winter, the journal reports. It says the decline, the industry's first since 2003, raises demands for industry leaders Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and MillerCoors to come up with better advertising and to rethink recent price increases, said retailers and analysts. How about you focus on the product? Anyway, they didn't say that. I did. Mm.
I pulled this article off of
Beer News.
Beernews.org. So it's not actually a Wall Street Journal article. They're just referencing the Wall Street Journal article because they say better advertising. Yes, that could work. Improving the beer and making it more flavorful. Hogwash. The analysts say that won't do a thing. Okay. That's why Anheuser-Busch InBev may be well down, as are MillerCoors, Crown, which is mostly Corona, Heineken, and others.
Yeah.
But Boston Beer and Yuengling are both up.
Yuengling, yeah.
Yuengling, yay.
America's longest running brewery, isn't it?
Yep.
Oldest like running brewery.
Or family-owned or something to that effect.
At first, it would be naive to think that growth in craft beer is more than a tiny fraction of the reason that demand has decreased for the big brewers. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there that would suggest otherwise, but for it to be more than a tiny fraction, craft beer would have to be growing at a massive clip, far more than the 9% it's growing at now. So, but
hey, I'll take 9% like any day of the week if I was a company.
So overall, beer declining, craft beer increasing. So what does that tell you about the big brewers?
Yeah. Better advertising, guys.
It's a matter of every single segment of the food industry, just in general. Everybody's moving towards quality. You know, and away from mass market crap. So, did I say this Blue Moon's actually decent?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, you did.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Mike, what you got?
What I got? Well, what
Blue
I got.
I just want to read one paragraph from this because
you know how I don't read my hot topics. I think everybody knows that by now. I tell you to go check out the article. But
yours is good.
The title of this is Prohibition and the Resulting Beer Distribution System in the United States. This comes from beeruniverse.com. This is beer-universe.com. And there's an article on beer education. So it's /beer-education-article. The part that I was interested in was not so much the prohibition side, but the distribution system side. And there's a little paragraph that starts and says, okay, on to distribution. After the repeal of Prohibition, the three-tier system of alcohol distribution was established and is still in effect today. The three tiers of the system include producers, brewers and importers, distributors, and retailers. Mm-hmm. While the three-tier system may seem inefficient, from the beer drinker's perspective, it was fashioned to allow for greater choice and variety and also ensure competition, which keeps prices down and leads to higher quality products. It also created to allow for better government regulation to ensure safe consumption. The debate still remains. Some argue that without this system, it would be even more difficult for smaller craft breweries to bring their beer to market, while others view this system as the sole reason for craft beers and why craft beers have trouble getting into getting onto the shelves.
The problem that you have is that you then have
The next paragraph says, before you interrupt.
Sorry, I didn't. Sorry. Go on. Continue reading.
No, it seriously says that. I'm not kidding. But no, I did want to talk. I'm not going to read the rest. But it's funny because it does say that there's one very, very small paragraph after that says, before you interrupt, there are expectations to the three, there are exceptions to the three-tier rule, such as your local brew pub, which is able to brew its own beer and then sell directly to the consumer without intermediate steps. However, the small volume sold on site and the potential of quickly destroying their reputation by selling unsafe products, the above mentioned concerns aren't really valid. But I wanted you to continue whatever you want to say, Chris, but I do want people to read this whole article because it's very interesting and it's food for thought, so to speak, on does this system
well? What
work?
I was going to say, if and one, does, of the, one of the problems you know, with that system is when you start to have the larger brewers also distributors, because
that's where it gets messed up.
You have a brewery like Anheuser-Busch who brews their product and then also distributes theirs plus others. It's like, well, I wonder if they have an added interest to push more of their product out than the other people that they distribute.
Yeah, or how easy is it going to be for some small guy to be able to get his beer on those trucks?
Right. And it's even bigger than that is to the government that government that's making the laws have ties to these large companies. And there's, lobbyists from these big companies. So it's... it should be illegal in a sense, like for any part of government to have ties or be a part of even be like employees even of these companies. Yeah. It should be just wrong.
Well, when the whole thing started, the three-tier system, it actually was a positive thing. It actually was made to, to keep monopolization from happening, but then over the years it just
then they should have made it a situation where, hey, if you brew a beer you can't then distribute it, but that's not
right,
like, because it's not a true three-tiered system. You have it's basically a two-tiered system. You have an Anheuser-Busch who brews and distributes, and then you have the retailer, so you don't really have a true three-tiered system in that situation.
Right.
Well, you do also have breweries like Stone who do their own distribution.
Yeah, and they also distribute like a lot of other smaller... I'm not saying it doesn't work at all, and there are obviously benefits to, somebody, with Stone's reach being able to, reach out and distribute more...
Well, that's more of a. I think that's more of on a local level when you talk about Stone, because they're not. They don't have trucks that drive cross country. I don't think. I'm not sure though. They may have trucks that distribute their own stuff cross country. Well, if that's the case, man, I want some Maui on my shelves out here in Vegas. Stone, what's going on?
Yeah.
Bring me some. Bring me some. Some Old Chub. you know, you guys get it goes right by me, goes to San Diego, and you're going to drive it right back. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that that there's some... I don't know. I think that you should... If you're going to go with a three-tiered system, they should be separate. Your brewers shouldn't be able to distribute. Have independent distributors who focus on nothing but distribution. If you want to go that route. Now, I'm not advocating that that's the best route either. You know, I'd like to see more of the craft brewers being able to sell directly to the public. California, they do that. California, you have brew pubs that can sell directly to the public, and you can go down to your local brewery and you can buy right from them. Can't do that in Texas. Texas can't sell directly to the public.
You don't do growler fills or any of that stuff?
You can't buy it directly.
Really? See, we can even do that in Massachusetts.
And you can do it here.
We have a hell of a time with laws here, but we can actually go to a brewery and get a growler filled. But we can't buy it in grocery stores.
See, I can buy it in grocery stores. In fact, that's one of my main go-tos. Market Street!
Marty's Liquors, Newton, Massachusetts. Thanks, Nate.
You guys making some money off of this show? What the hell?
I wish.
Free beers.
Yeah, so far. Well, Mike, if you're...
Hey, I've only got one free beer, and that was from Nate. Thanks, Nate.
I've gotten a couple from Roy. Thanks, Roy. Sorry.
That'd be great, though. I would totally do advertising for two free beers a week. That's what we do here on the podcast, you know?
You're such a whore.
Oh, sorry.
That's what I said, man. That's like the cheapest form of advertising you could possibly think of. Two free beers a week?
Yeah.
Or four, because I need two of each.
This week's edition of the Beer Coasters podcast brought to you by Miller Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado. Just kidding,
bastards,
folks.
Bastards only gave me one bottle. Anyway. So, Toby, what's your hot topic for this week?
My hot topic, I'm going to do it real quick. Laurel Wood Public House and Brewery. They're out of Portland, Oregon. They have a new, or actually they're bringing back their organic Portland Roast Espresso Stout.
We're bringing organic back.
Yeah. I love my coffee and my beer. It's a collaboration between their brewery and the Portland Roasting. This beer features a blend of Sumatran and Ethiopian coffees, specially selected by their head brewer. These organic and farm-friendly direct coffees blend nicely. Smooth, mellow, organic stout. Well-balanced creation is a nice coffee aroma and flavor that subtly complements the roasted character of this dark ale. It comes in around 6.3% ABV with 40 IBUs.
We have totally sold out. This is all marketing speak right now. He's just spouting off.
That's Laurel Wood Public House and Brewery in Portland, Oregon. It's their organic Portland Roast Espresso Stout. They also have a couple other interesting sounding beers. They got an oatmeal stout on nitro. Ooh. And Arctic Apocalypse Black Imperial IPA.
Whoa.
So, Chris, yeah, check them out.
That looks like orange juice.
Or did
you just pour all
pulp,
the yeast in the glass?
It's like all...
Yeah. The bottom of the Grand Cru, the Blue Moon, it's got lots of sediment. It does look like orange juice. You're right, Mike.
Like heavy pulp orange juice.
Powdery.
It's chewy.
So let's... Chris, you ready to drink some beer? Some other beer? Some new, different beer?
Okay, if I have to.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
There it is.
That's getting almost as old as the old man voice.
A blast from the past.
What? What'd you say, crazy Dave? Yeah, crazy California hippie. Go back to Temecula.
So for my tasting flight this week, I am drinking Avery Brewing Company's
The Beast.
What was that?
The Beast.
It's from Avery Brewing Company out of Boulder, Colorado. Their website is...
That was awesome.
AveryBrewing.com.
How'd you do that?
That's the talent I have.
The magic of podcasting.
years and years of selling my soul. The style is a Grand Cru, ABV of 15.07.
Whoa!
This one is up there.
That's a big-ass Grand Cru.
Yeah. IBUs are 68. The ingredients. Y'all ready for this? For the hops, we use Magnum, Galena, Saaz, Hallertau, Tettnang, Herzbrucker.
Jeez.
For the malts, we have a two-row barley, a Belgian Special B, honey malt, aromatic, pale wheat, roasted wheat. And then, interesting note on this beer is they even go into describing what sort of sugars they use. Not so much sugars as in sugars, but...
dextrose.
Right. Raisins, dates, blackstrap, molasses, alfalfa honey, turbinado, and a dark Belgian candy sugar. And then they also use water in this.
This is, this is like the Long Island iced tea of beers right here.
They use Belgian yeast and another hellion of a yeast strain, which they don't explain. Rate beer gives it a 95. Yeast. Beer what advocate is up with that anyway?
Like, I mean, give us a f***ing break. Really, the secretive yeast strands and stuff? Come on.
It's a hellion of a yeast beer. Strain. Beer advocate users give it a B+. Alstrom Brothers. Slackers. With that, I'm going to crack it open.
You're missing out. That's all we got to say. Yeah. You're missing out.
It's Avery, man. It's the beast.
So I'm pouring this into a
the beast.
A fairly small...
Damn it.
Goblet-style glass.
I'll try better next time.
Got a ruby red amber color. Not much head, which a little bit of a head.
Ruby or amber?
It's both. It's kind of in between. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, it's all right with me. I'm sipping on my Grand Cru.
Not much of a head. Tan. Bubbles. You know, stuff that a head has.
Yeah. Head has bubbles. Bubble head.
On the nose, I get lots of that sugar. Lots of, like burnt molasses. What is it, like algae sugar?
Eye of newt sugar.
Lots of, like, really dark sugars. Lots of raisin and some figs and...
The fruits are strong in this one.
It's weird, though. It's like a really, really, like, dark, roasted sort of flavor. Or not flavor. Scent. I've never smelled a beer like this. Raisins and figs and dates.
You can feel the excitement in Chris's voice. Like, he can't wait to take a sip of this stuff.
He's shaking.
I see him.
Barely hold the glass in his hand.
Oh, he just passed out from sheer bliss. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned for the Beer Causers podcast.
Taste is lots of malt, roastiness out of the yin yang.
Really? Wow.
Whoa. Out of the yin and yang. That's a lot of roast.
Wow, this is really interesting. There's lots of sugars present. Obviously, you know, when I was describing it, lots of sugars went into this. But again, raisins and figs and those sort of dark, dried fruits. That's what it is. It's that sort of dried fruit flavor.
Okay.
Sounds good so far.
Is it
like a Belgian dark ale, or is it a strong ale? It's Grand Cru, but
it's a Belgian strong dark ale, is what it's considered. Alcohol is there, you know, obviously because it's 15%+, but it's not overwhelming. I don't get an overwhelming sense of hey, this is a Scotch, you know, burning sensation.
Mm-hmm. It tastes it's burning.
It's a little bit more carbonated than I expected it to be too. At that level of alcohol, you expect something that that much alcohol to be a little less carbonated, but there's a decent amount of carbonation in there.
And you tried one of these just recently, right? Was it? Did you try one of those Demons of Ale?
The Mephistopheles, previously?
Yeah, I did the Mephistopheles, which I think was their, what was that? I want to say it's
the stout,
their Russian, their Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Which was another high ABV one. Yeah. It was like something crazy, like 17%
yeah,
or
they,
something.
Yeah, this is part of their, I don't know what they call this series, but they have a series of three different beers that they sell really expensively in 12-ounce bottles. This being one of them, the Mephistopheles being another, and the Samael, which I don't remember
Samael,
what.
Yeah,
I've had the Samael before.
That's oaked. Oaked strong ale, like a, I think it's an English ale, but it's like a real strong ale, like oaked strong ale.
I haven't had that
it's
one.
It's their Hellion series.
This one normally retails for about $8 for a 12-ounce bottle. So it's not cheap. I didn't pay much for it, but I got a deal.
Oh, aren't you special?
Mm-hmm. Lots of chocolate in the flavor too. I really like this beer. It's so different than almost any beer I've ever tried.
Wow.
That's great. I mean, many beers as we've had on the show, never mind, you know, what we've had.
Well, you figure, you know 35 plus episodes at two beers a show. That's, you know, 70 beers there on top of everything else that I've tried outside of here. This is very, very good. I really appreciate this beer a lot.
So, our livers right now are telling us to f*** off.
If I was going to pair this with something, this is a really tough one to pair.
I'd like to see you do that.
You can edit out the quiet because I'm going to need a second to think this one up.
Take your time.
Like a smoked barbecue?
No. Smoked barbecue would be too sweet.
It's a sipper. It's tough with the sipping beers.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would pair well with this. But, you know, I'm going to have to give it to you in last call because I can't think of what this would pair with right now. So, but right. I promise last call I'll have some.
All right. We'll hold you to it.
All right.
The Beast!
Nice try.
Damn it.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
My turn.
Well, do it already.
All right. First and foremost, let me thank Nate at Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts. I really, 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 really appreciate that you gave me this beer. This, like I said, this was from his own personal collection.
Tell us the story.
It was just super cool. We just struck up a conversation about beer, and
you went down on him. And
I mentioned
it,
and he said he happened to have one, and the rest is history.
Thanks, Chris.
Thought I'd class it up a bit.
The rest is history. Nate, if you haven't heard previous shows, you might want to go back to when Chris said he was going to do a book report, because the rest is history. It's kind of a inside joke between
us. And all of the other times Mike talked about going down on guys for beer, but let's keep going.
Hey, wait a second. All right. So anyway, my beer this week is from Allagash, and it is their Grand Cru. This is their Belgian quad, or a quadruple.
Quadruple.
This is from Allagash Brewery out of Portland, Maine. Their website is allagash.com, allagash.com. The ABV on this beer is 7.2. Rate Beer rates this 96 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Ahlstrom brothers have weighed in on this beer, and they rate it an A. This is a 750 mil. I want to mention that because I just had a 750 mil just previously.
Nice.
This is batch 21 of Allagash's Grand Cru. This is not last year because they didn't make a Grand Cru last year. I believe this is from the previous year, which would be 2008.
Losers.
And I'm going to crack it open. It's got a cork.
Nice. We like them corked, them corked beards.
Beards?
Yes.
Corked beards are great.
Well, you guys would know.
All right.
I just finished my 750 milliliter.
This is a lighter shade of amber, I would say. It's a little cloudy. At about 2.5 to 3 fingers
Sounds
ahead.
Like an album title. A lighter shade of amber.
Lighter shade of amber.
Oh, there's that lighter shade of brown group. Remember that?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What was that
or
song?
Deeper shade of
deeper
soul.
Deeper shade of soul.
We're beautiful.
Yeah.
Deeper shade of soul.
Okay. So anyway, it is amber-ish. It is got a big frothy head on it, which is nice. Light tan head, I guess you'd say. Smells. I can smell a little alcohol, some yeasty fruitiness, some clovey all spiciness.
Clovey.
Trademark of the Beer Coaster Spot.
Yes. Whatever, Clovis.
Some orange peel, even. And something with some kind of weird, I don't know, like some witch doctor's herbal remedy or something. There's some kind of medicinal.
Eye of Newt.
Yes.
Horse blanket?
No, no horse blanket in this one. I'm going to take a sip now that the head has gone down to one finger. Some good head retention, by the way.
Speaking of head retention, when I did pour towards the last... Last.
Speaking of head retention.
Speaking of going down on head for free beer.
Going down on head.
The last one third of my Blue Moon Grand Cru, I got a lot more head out of it. So I think the sediment towards the bottom of the bottle helped out with that head. So, because at the beginning,
see
there was no head.
What happens when you talk nicely to it?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to take a sip.
Stroke the sediment
this
a little bit.
My time. This is my time.
Get that head up.
Some crispness, some big malts, and a biscuity. No, some crispness.
I just like to acknowledge with not how Christmas. Much Mike talks shit about Toby taking forever. It's 5 minutes and Mike is just now tasting.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but I never do that.
Whatever.
And our reviews are supposed to last 5 minutes. Yeah. This is gonna be a long episode, folks.
Some white pepper.
Yeah. Everybody,
right, let me finish up.
Listening,
then,
going,
please.
Yeah,
gentlemen,
we know.
Can I finish?
All right, I'm finished.
There's some candy, like some fruity candy in there. Kind of a musty, yeasty smell and taste. But it's got a good dry finish. It's got a big mouthfeel. It's good, like, good texture, mouthfeel. It's big, definitely bigger than the Blue Moon, for sure. This is tough to pair. I may have to go back. Sorry, Ty, but I may have to go back to desserts on this one. I think this may go well with some type of custard. Something to that effect. Maybe a creme brulee or a custard. Or some really kind of egg-like custard, would be good with this beer. Anyway, if you get a chance to check it out, Allagash Grand Cru. It is very nice. It's very complex. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Kind of hard to talk about in only 7 minutes. Okay. Toby, you want to drink some beer?
Well, I already drank, but let's do it anyway.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay. Got a little something special for you. This episode, number 36, with my grand crew, I actually went on the road for this one. I drove about 20 minutes from my house.
Whoa.
Whoa. 20 minutes. I didn't think anything was 20 minutes from my house.
Everything's at least 20 minutes from my house.
Same here. I can't go anywhere unless it's 20 minutes away.
Yeah. I went to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. BJ's are located all across the country. BJ's Restaurant Brew House actually started in Brea, California in 1996.
That's how Mike got his beer this week.
What?
Nothing. I don't get it. Let it go. Let it go.
They actually, the restaurant actually started in 1978, and they are famous for their deep dish style pizzas. But then in 96, they decided, hey, let's start brewing some beer. So they started brewing beer, and they became BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. And you can find them as far across the country as Florida. So coast to coast. Coast to coast. Fits right in with my upcoming review. Anyway, you can find...
Just like us.
Exactly.
Coast to coast.
You can find them at bjsbrewhouse.com. The style I enjoyed at the location was a Belgian-style pale ale at an ABV of 10%. And it is available from January, only in January and February. And it's available at all BJ's locations. And an interesting note.
Oh, really?
It won the silver medal at the 2002 Great American Beer Festival, and it also won the silver at the 2000 World Beer Cup, which I believe is held in San Diego, California. Sweet. Rate Beer gave it an 84 out of 100. Beer Advocate users a B-. Alstrom Brothers have not tried it. So without any further delay...
Big surprise.
Let us hit the road with my... review of
Hit the road,
BJ's
Toby.
Grand Cru.
From
coast to coast. And now it's time to hit the road with beer coasters.
Coast to coast. Yeah. Breweries. Brewmasters.
Okay, so here I am at BJ's Brewhouse here in Las Vegas, and I am trying their Grand Cru. It's their 2010 limited edition 10th anniversary, and after arriving at my table, it's got a nice golden amber color. Not too much head, but there is a nice film on top with a little bit of lacing going on. It's clear in body. Don't really see any carbonation. On the nose, there's a little bit of kind of a maltiness on the nose with a slight hoppiness in the background. Kind of has a little bit of that yeastiness too. Kind of a little bit of a... like a farmhouse yeastiness, a little bit. Gina smells campfire. There might even be a little fruitiness in there too, a little citrusy. Taking a sip. It's got a real big mouthfeel. Kind of sweet on the tongue, but the mouthfeel is the first thing that hits you. It's just real thick, big, full mouthfeel with a little bit of bite, but there's a good kind of orangey sweetness to it. Stumped. Yeah, I'm really just getting a lot of this kind of orangey yeastiness.
on the tongue. It's got a nice kind of dryness on the tip of the tongue. A little bit of a slight kind of bitter, sour aftertaste, just a little bit. Some alcohol warming. I don't know what the... Oh, it's 10% ABV. Yeah, a little bit of spiciness, too. It's kind of a, maybe a... Yeah, some coriander spiciness in there. Not bad.
It's not terribly complex, but it's tasty.
Yeah, like Gina says, not terribly complex, but pretty tasty. And for a pint rating... actually, I'm going to be pairing this with some pizza, so we'll see how it goes. Which it might actually go good with maybe a, like a spicy kind of pizza. Nothing too hot. Yeah, so that's the 10th anniversary Grand Cru from BJ's Brewhouse here in Las Vegas, Nevada. There's also lots of apricot that comes out in it. So the fruitiness is a lot of orange and apricot. All in all, it's not too bad. I would say, three and a half out of five for that. Three and a half pints out of 5 pints.
Tranima says, I just made a fart joke on Twitter. Please, hand me my beer koozie and knock out my teeth. I'll be in my trailer.
It's the Tweet of the Week! Tweet of the Week! It's the Tweet of the Week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the Week, yeah!
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Coaster's email and hotline. Yeah.
See what happens next time you need a bailout.
Use guys. Suck.
Okay, Mike. Thanks. This is Backwash.
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 Where nothing sucks. So we've only got.
If it does, we spit it out.
We got a little bit of backwash from guess who?
Crazy Dave.
Crazy Dave. So. I believe this is in regards to our last show, the Old Ales show, the Get Off My Lawn show, as we like to call it. He says, dude, seriously, be talking like an old man? God, really f***ing old quick. I listened to this at work, and talking like that annoyed the hell out of me. On top of that, I don't want to drink a beer that tastes Bengay. Sounds like an Asian woman. On top of that, I don't want to drink a beer that tastes Bengay.
Nice.
Okay.
We lost all our Asian listeners.
Asian female listeners.
No.
And, very and small know, percentage.
And, yeah, I was going to say, you know that number's real high.
Yeah. Well, they're only about 4.5 feet tall. So.
Oh, that's it. We just lost the last one. There was one more. We're sorry, Chu Ling. We really apologize.
Chu Ling. As long as we have Chun Li,
so
it's okay.
In reference to the backwash that we got from Crazy Dave, I totally agree. It was f***ing annoying sitting here listening to
it. What are you talking about? We're talking about you, no whippersnapper. Who's this Crazy Dave person? Crazy hippie. Coming from Temecula, all you care about is your wines and your field hockey and your avocados.
Field hockey.
Your crazy droid phones.
Hey. Lay off the droid. These are not the droids.
Right, well, that was our backwash segment. Let's roll into last call. What do you think, fellas?
Whatever.
Google this, bitch. Last call!
And this is last call!
Last
go.
Let's give out some pint ratings for the beers we had today.
First up is Chris with his food pairing and then his pint
rating. Yeah, food pairing.
Alrighty. Well, I actually have my food pairing ready to go. So, I was a little ill-prepared to give my pint rating during my review, so I'm going to give it now. And for my pint rating for my Grand Cru from Avery, the Beast, a pineapple upside-down cake.
Ooh.
Would go really well with this beer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mr. Samuel Jackson would say,
good choice, motherfucker!
Very interesting, Chris.
So, for my pint ratings, for the Blue Moon Grand Cru, which is really just a souped-up Blue Moon, I'm actually going to give it 4 pints.
What? Whoa.
Yeah. I actually really enjoyed this beer. For a Belgian wit, it is a very good example of a successful Belgian wit. I mean, it's got a nice amount of sweetness, a nice amount of crispness without being overwhelmingly sweet, which, you know, when you think about large brewers and sort of what they go for, they tend to over-exaggerate things, and I didn't find that with this. I felt that it was very well-balanced. It wasn't, you know, it's obvious that they went for sweetness without overdoing it, which I appreciate. Like, I think they fully accomplished what they set out for. So, 4 points for me. The Avery Beast, I'm going to go with 5 pints.
Wow.
It's
doing.
Yeah.
Although, if you drank 5 pints of this, woo. Out. it's a really good. It's a really good Belgian strong dark ale, which is exactly what it is. It's very different. Really, really roasty and dark fruit. Sort of dried fruit flavors, raisins, and, you know, everything that I described in the review. I really appreciated it a lot. It's rare that, you know, 35 episodes in that you come across something that is wholly unique, and that's what I got from this. So, yeah, I'm going to go with 5 pints on it.
Nice. Cool. What about you, Mike?
Well, for the Blue Moon Grand Cru, I gave it 3.5. I do agree with Chris that it is a very good Belgian white. I think they did do exactly what they set out to do, but I can see this being a 6-pack of a Belgian white for a different craft brewery. As far as tagging that Grand Cru name on it, if it being the best that they have to offer for a Belgian white, I don't know how that would fly with some other breweries. I think maybe we came in with some low expectations, so we were kind of surprised by the result. I liked it, I enjoyed it, but I don't know if it's like a top shelf, you know, 750 mil limited edition type beer. It's very palatable. It was very enjoyable. But that's what I have to say about that. For the Allagash Grand Cru, thanks, Nate, by the way, from Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts. It was very complex. I really, really, really enjoyed this beer. I'm going to give it a 5 just because I think the complexity on this beer is kind of top-notch. There is some kind of weird, indiscernible herbal something in there, but I think maybe it's just my palate. Maybe a little less refined than I'd like it to be, but there's definitely something in there that I can't quite figure out, but nonetheless, it doesn't take away from the beer at all, in my opinion.
It's a great beer, and it's had some time to age in 5 pints. Allagash Grand Cru. You find one, get one, pick it up.
For the Grand Cru from Blue Moon, I thought it was pretty good too. I'm right there with Chris. I'm going to go with 4 pints. I didn't really have any expectations going into this. It's weird because I wasn't excited about it, yet I wasn't thinking that it was going to... I wasn't thinking negative or positive. I was just kind of like, I didn't really have any thoughts going into this. So I was actually pleasantly surprised at how nice it was. So yeah, 4 pints. And then as you heard from my BJ's Grand Cru, 3.5. That's it for that.
Wait, say what? You gave it a 3.5, so you actually did your pint rating during your review?
Yeah.
Loser!
Yeah, 3.5 from those guys.
You know that we do the pint ratings during the last call segment of the show, correct?
I wanted to make sure that I recorded it at the time so I wouldn't forget.
That's good, I guess. You wouldn't want to, tag on a pint rating and not know what the hell you were talking about.
Right.
God forbid that you do it. God forbid you do it after a 750... 8% and a 12-ouncer of a 15%.
I think at BJ's I had maybe 10 ounces. Those glasses they give you are pretty small.
A liter and a half of beer. Literally, a liter and a half of beer. That's crazy.
Good times.
So, BJ's, you can find them at BJ'sBrewHouse.com.
Or at Mike's house.
God. And for our tasting flight,
but you gotta
Blue
bring
Moon,
beer.
You can find yes, BlueMoonBrewingCompany.com. What about you guys?
Oh yeah, AveryBrewing.com for the beast. And I want to give a shout out again to Market Street United, which is the website for the Market Street grocery store that I. So appreciate Roy and Mike over there for helping me out week after week.
Well, I will once again thank Nate at Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts. If it were not for Marty's Liquors in Newton, Massachusetts, I would not be able to do a lot of these shows. They have the absolute best selection. I'm going to say in Massachusetts, but I'm going to say New England because if I were to guess that I think that they have probably the best selection of beer. If you're in the Boston area and you like craft beer, go to Marty's Liquors.
We really need to get out of this free advertising business.
Yes.
You could also follow us on Twitter. We are on Twitter. It's Beer Coasters Pod. We also have individual Twitter accounts. I am Beer Coaster Toby.
You are Beer Coaster Toby.
It's true. You are.
And who are you?
I would be B Coaster Chris.
I am Beer Coaster Mike.
And we're also on Facebook. So check it out on Facebook. Look for Beer Coasters Podcast. You can become friends with us.
Become a fan.
And you can become a fan of Beer Coasters Podcast. Sweet. And you might even see some insider stuff through Facebook. You might get a jump on things through Facebook, just to give you a little secret hint there.
Yeah, we're going to start laying down some hints on stuff. Little quizzes and hints on Facebook.
Yeah, check it out.
Twitter.
And we also have individual email accounts. I am Toby at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
Chris at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And Mike at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And you can also email Backwash to Backwash@BeerCoastersPodcast.com. Or you can leave audio Backwash one of two ways, either by calling our Backwash hotline at 972-914-8502. That's 972-914-8502. Or you can go to the website and there's a little call me button on the bottom. You put in your phone number and it calls you and you leave a Backwash and all is good with the world. Or you can post your comments directly on the website for each episode. Just go to the website and underneath the current episode, there's a little spot to put comments. And Mike, what is that website?
That website is www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. If you search for Beer Coasters, you'll find us there. You can check the website on Monday for next time on Beer Coasters. See what we're going to drink for the upcoming weeks and buy some and get it and drink with us.
And don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends. And thank you so much for listening. Don't just tell your friends about Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, recommend us to be friends, Beer Coasters, with your friends. It's all good. If you have friends that love beer, say, hey, check it out. Send them a friend request or whatever. Thank you for listening. And thank you for the backwash.
Especially insert names here.
Yeah. That would be Crazy Dave.
Oh, sorry.
I will insert Crazy Dave's name there. Yes. Thanks, Crazy Dave, for the backwash this week. Yeah.
Support your local brewery. Drink local. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, people.
And for comments and suggestions, your favorite beer, your favorite bar, we want to know these things. Either hit us up on Facebook or tweet about it, or send us an email. Let us know. We'll talk about it on the show. Maybe we'll even go check it out if we're near it.
Hell yeah, we will. All right. Is that it, folks,
for the week?
All right.
We'll see you next week on the Beer Coasters Podcast. Cheers.
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 Nice try.